soldiers gone long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone?
Gone to graveyards, everyone.
Oh, when will they ever learn?
Oh, when will they ever learn?
Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Lots of flowers gone, long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone, long time ago? Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls have picked them, every one. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone for husbands, everyone. Husbands gone, long time passing. Where have all the husbands gone, long time ago? Where have all the husbands gone? Gone for soldiers, everyone. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they? Soldiers gone, long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone, long time ago? Where have all the soldiers gone?
Gone to graveyards, everyone.
Oh, when will they ever learn? Graveyards gone, long time passing. Where
has gone. Long time passing, where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago, where have all the flowers gone?
Hello, everybody. Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. I can't comment at all on another mass killing with guns in the hands of a crazy person in Seattle. Just to acknowledge that, yep, once again. It is church night, Wednesday being church night on this program, where we occasionally try to further expose the fraud, chicanery, lies, deceit, murder, bloodshed, and insanity of organized religion, primarily of the Christian blend. We have a couple of items tonight, by the way. Oh, yeah. As of early last week, nearly 20,000 people applied for 800 jobs that are going to open in Montgomery, Alabama. There's a Hyundai plant there. The applicants are still coming. 877 openings. More than 20,000 people now have applied. The Montgomery newspaper says that Hyundai was so overwhelmed that they suspended the application process on May 18th because of the high volume of applicants. It has since reopened. Tens of thousands of people applying for a job at an auto plant. And remember what Mitt Romney said. Let them go bankrupt. Screw them. Who cares? An email from Della Fukushima, a request. Mike, I know you don't want to spend much time talking about the problem with the reactors at Fukushima. However, I would like to make a request. It is for you to urge all your listeners to call, write, fax, or email their senators, representatives, Obama, the United Nations, their newspapers, etc., and demand action be taken immediately with the international community to contain the contamination and meltdown. I ran across a couple of suggestions for containment that I copied and pasted into a letter that I faxed to my senator from Oregon, Ron Wyden. If enough people call or write, especially President Obama, maybe we can get something done to help prevent what could be an extinction-level event. We just cannot ignore the situation and hope it'll go away. Signed, a concerned citizen, mother and grandmother, Della. Well, in fact, Della, I've talked about the situation in Fukushima a lot, and will continue to do so. And thanks for the suggestion that people write facts. I don't know if you're aware, Della, but a group of Japanese business leaders and scientists have petitioned the United Nations for help. And so far, as far as I know, there has been no response. We talked about the deer in Wisconsin the other night, about how soon-to-be ex-governor Scott Walker now wants to the head of his game division or parks division or something wants to says that Wisconsin deer hunters are like communists. See, they can say and do anything. They can say and do anything. The Republicans in Wisconsin will take the blows. They don't care. Republicans are dumber than hell. But normal people who deer hunt in Wisconsin will listen to that and say, what? I'm a communist because I go onto public land and shoot deer? I'm a communist? Huh. Goddamn. But anyway, Tadine in Vancouver, Washington writes, last I heard when I lived in Wisconsin several years ago, there were way more deer than there were hunters. Hunters were encouraged to shoot a doe before they could shoot a buck. I guess a bighorn buck head looks more manly mounted on the mantle than does Bambi's mother. And then there is the chronic wasting disease, spongiform encephalopathy, which continues still and may be related to Jakob Creutzfeldt syndrome, made people uneasy about eating deer meat. So if deer hunting is taken away from the peasants and is given to the lords of the manor, it might not be a bad idea. It might improve the gene pool. What do you think? Well, I think you're right, Tadine. Most people who hunt, I don't know, that's not a verifiable statement. Most people who are asked why they hunt deer in the United States will say they do it for the food, for the deer meat. Yeah, I would be extremely cautious. I don't know, maybe not, but I would be extremely cautious about wild game at this point. And that may be because I've gotten the wrong information. But it's my understanding that in Wisconsin they want to start charging $700 or $800 to go shoot a deer. Okay. You know, whatever works, right? Several years ago, actually about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, a friend of mine here in Atlanta called me up and he said, we'd been in the concert production business together. Not promotion, we did the scut work. We put concerts together. He called me up and he said, what do you know about the snake handlers? I said, oh man, they crack me up. I love them. They're just so goddamn insane. He said, you want to go up to outside of Lafayette, Georgia? There's a little town up there. And on Wednesday night, once a month, they do snake handling. They take up serpents. Take up serpents. Yeah, you know, like it says in the book of Matthew. Is it Matthew? To take up, you know, that it's okay to... or no, it's Mark, I guess. To take up serpents. I said, well, I'm damn sure not going to. No, you don't have to do it. He said, it's out in the country. It's a church, Baptist, what we used to call hard shell Baptist. And, my friend is from that part of, Tennessee, Georgia area. I said, yeah, let's do that. Do we get high first? And he said, no, you don't get high first because, you know, they have a burlap bag full of snakes. And if one of these fools gets bit and drops the bag, you know, you got to have your wits about you so you can run like hell and get out of there. Cause, you know, all of a sudden you've got a whole little wooden sanctuary, little church full of snakes going every which way. So, I said, yeah, let's do it. So, it was a couple weeks hence that he and I, got in his old junky Oldsmobile and we drove up to, Lafayette, Georgia. That's what they call it here, not Lafayette. They call it Lafayette, Georgia. And got to downtown Lafayette, which is a treat in and of itself, and, went out Main Street, the Main Street, I don't know, about 3-4 miles outside of town, and there was a marker for the Baptist Church. You know, something like Mount Moriah Baptist Church or something. Took a right on this gravel road, drove back about a mile and a half. Gravel road ended, became a dirt road. Dirt road ended, became a track. And we finally saw it up in the distance. The front door was open. It was a little one-story wood frame church, sure enough, and a porch outside the door. And a fence, which at one time I guess was used as a hitching post. I don't know. So we pulled up and folks were still coming in from the rural areas up there. And they didn't particularly give Jack or me a look. They just, you know, they saw us coming. Nobody said anything. So we stood out for a second and smoked a cigarette. This is back when I was still smoking. We're standing out there smoking a cigarette. Everybody that went to the church smoked a cigarette. So we're standing there, and inside we could hear a couple of the deacons or whatever starting to pound on those tambourines, and they had a foot-powered organ. What do you call those things? Air organ. I don't know what you call them, but you could hear that thing wheezing and getting ready to break into Near My God to Thee or whatever. So Jack said, you ready? I said, I'm ready. We'll be right back.
And I'm an attorney talking to you about a medical breakthrough for men in the sexual health world that uses cutting-edge technology. This amazing product is called Retoxort, and the results have been remarkable on the subjects who were studied during case testing. Legally, all I'm allowed to say on the radio is that the before and after comparisons are nothing short of shocking. Be one of the first 50 callers right now and find out how to get Retoxort for free. Due to the private nature of Retoxort, we have created an identity protection program, which absolutely guarantees you that nobody will ever know you participated. Your name will never appear in any delivery, and there will be no emails or phone calls. As a matter of fact, we won't even ask you for your name when you call.
Shocking before and afters. 800-829-2613. Your identity is completely protected. 800-829-2613. Call 800-829-2613 right now.
Hey, everybody. Mike Malloy here, and I'd like to take a moment to thank you for all your incredible show of support. It hasn't been easy, but we've managed to survive without a parent network and without the kind of infrastructure that other radio programs enjoy. And that's because we have a secret weapon. Listeners like you who appreciate the unvarnished, uncompromised truth. But now, more than ever, we need your help. Progressive Talk, especially the Take No Prisoners presentation that I bring, comes with a cost. In simple terms, there are powerful forces out there now who have targeted this program for destruction, and without your assistance, they could win. If it is possible for you to sponsor an hour of the program, or purchase or donate a podcast, or make a PayPal donation, it could make it possible for us to keep the fire lit. The stakes have never been higher for this program. And you can make a difference, Truth Seeker. We sincerely thank you for helping us spread the message, one that you will never hear from the corporate media.
Stubal was a racehorse, and I wish he were mine. He never drank water, he always drank wine. His bridle was silver, his mane it was gold. Dancing, my nose. by the bed on Old Stewball.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So anyway, we're outside Lafayette, Georgia. Jack and I, this is a long time ago, and we're waiting to go inside. And everybody else started shuffling in, so we went in. And there was an old woman at the organ, this pedal organ, I forget what you call it, but you know, you pump air into it and then push the keys. It's kind of like a accordion or a bagpipe. And she's playing some hymn, and they're sitting up on the little stage. Everything was kind of old looking and dusty and smelled like church hymnals and dust. And the little sign up on the wall that said last week's ATT 94, this week's ATT 63, and collection $87, whatever, you know, all that stuff. Now, they didn't have any stained glass windows, and they didn't have any fancy, high polished and buffed pews. All they had were chairs sitting across for the congregation to sit in, with an aisle down the middle. So sitting up on the stage were five or six men. Kind of country looking. As a matter of fact, real country looking. Most of them had on work boots and Dickies pants and work shirts. Very, very red faced, because these are people that worked outside. Most of them, I reckon, were farmers. So pretty soon, preacher came out, and he asked everybody to stand for the invocation and a hymn or two. And then they had the news of the day. Or of the week, I guess. I don't know. Who died and who's in the hospital with this illness and that illness. And, you know, how many of them got broke legs and who got borned. That's the way they put it. Who got borned that week. And how many of them were saved and going to have a revival in a couple of months. But tonight, amen, we're going to be taking up serpents. Amen. Can I get an amen? And people would start just, you could feel the tension start to build. I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. And I think it is in the, the book of Mark? I forget what, I think it's Mark. Where, let me see here, I got it written down here. Yeah, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Woo! And in Luke, it says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, I mean, that sounds pretty much like a all-inclusive armor-like protection. So the preacher would preach, and a brief sermon on this particular night, because this is going to be the night of testifying. This is going to be the night when the five men sitting up on the stage, who had either volunteered or said they wanted to testify, or the preacher had asked them to, or whatever, they're going to take turns with this big-ass burlap bag that the preacher had brought out with him, and now laid a little bit behind him and off to the side on the stage. And Jack and I kept watching that bag because the damn thing was moving. And Jack said, well, that's the bag that has the snakes in it. I said, what kind of snakes, man? What kind of snakes? Well, probably timber rattlers and a couple of, what are they? Not coral snakes, but, draw a blank now. Copperheads. Yeah, copperheads and rattlesnakes. I said, what are they going to do? He said, well, just watch. So By and by, the preacher would finish, and there may be 50 people, 60 people in the church, and this is a Wednesday night, 50 or 60 people. And then the preacher asked for folks to, everybody to bow their head and close their eyes, and anybody who wanted to testify could stand up in the pew or in the chair, near the chairs where they were sitting, and testify. And a few people did, but you could tell that most folks there just didn't want to hear all this damn testifying. They wanted to get to the main event. They wanted to see what they'd really come to see. You can get testifying any Wednesday night, but this was snake handling night, so they wanted to see it. And the five guys up on the stage were just kind of sitting there. A couple of them looked like they were starting to get a little bit sweaty. Now, that might have been because, you know, this is summer, and you're in North Georgia Mountains, and it gets hot. And in this little old church, a little stuffy. Or it might have been something else that was making them sweat. But Jack and I noticed a couple, three of them were starting to perspire rather heavily. And they would reach back in that back pocket of their Dickies pants and pull out a great big ass old handkerchief and wipe their brow. And the preacher said, "All right, we're about to testify for the Lord. Can I get an amen?" And the entire congregation gave a big amen.
The devil bowed his head because he knew that he'd been beat. And he laid that golden fiddle on the ground at Johnny's feet. Johnny said, "Devil, just come on back if you ever want to try again. Cause I told you once, you son of a gun, I'm the best there's ever been." He played, "Fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun."
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-890-6408. That's 1-800-890-6408. 1-800-890-6408.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
Come on up here and sit down on the porch with me.
I love staying here. Have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
This year, nearly 242,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Hello, this is Reggie Jackson telling you to talk to your father, brother, grandfather, uncle, and friends about prostate cancer, and then join me in the Prostate Cancer Foundation to help keep Dad in the game. Go to PCF.org and make a pledge for the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, PCF.org. Let's keep Dad in the game. Make a pledge. Make a difference.
I'm a poor boy in trouble. I'm a long way from home. Old Stewball was a racehorse, and I wish he were mine. He never drank water. Wine.
It ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't matter anyhow. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. Be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's all right. It ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. Light I never know. It ain't no use in turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Still I wish there was something or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway, so don't think twice, it's alright. I'm walking down that long lonesome road, babe. Where I'm bound I can't tell, but goodbye is too good a word, gal. So I'll just say fare thee well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just sort of wasted my precious time. I don't think twice, it's all right. It ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never did before. It ain't no use in calling out my name, gal. I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering all the way down the road. I once loved a woman, a child I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul.
Cuddle up, true seekers. Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Yeah, we're right in the middle of one here. I know there's lots of important things to talk about how miserable everything is, and, you know, we're all going to die anyway. We're going to be breathing fire pretty soon, and all this other crap. We'll get to that. We get to the crap every night, don't we? But we're talking about church night and snake handling in this little church outside Lafayette, Georgia. About 25 years ago, my buddy Jack and I, we were both in the rock and roll business. Actually, it was about 30 years ago. Both in the rock and roll production business, we decided to go up and see a real church night with the snake handlers. So there was a big amen from the entire congregation. And with that, the anticipation became so thick, it was kind of like the silence and breathlessness you get right before a massive rat killing. The preacher reached kind of behind him and picked up this big burlap bag, one of those burlap bags that hold 150 pounds of potatoes. And he held it up. And this thing was moving this way, and it was moving that way, and it was just squirming and squitching around. And the boy sitting on the stage, all five of them, I start to really sweat now. And the preacher started quoting from the Bible. And of course, the first place he went was to Mark. And he said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Blah, blah, blah. "They shall take up serpents." Amen. And with that, the preacher opened the bag a little bit at the top, and everybody sucked in their breath, and he stuck his hand in there, and his sleeve was rolled up, and he wiggled around and grabbed something. He come out with it, and son of a bitch, he comes up with about a 6.5-foot rattlesnake. He had him by the head, and Jack and I just sat there watching the snake just flipping this way and flipping that way. And the preacher got to preaching. And he went back to Mark. And then he went over here. And then he went to Luke. And he's talking about God and redemption and hallelujah. And Jack and I were sitting there going, damn, I wish I had an RC Coca-Cola right now. I am thirsty. And then he let loose of that snake's head. Slid his hand down till he had the snake around the midsection. Now, you see, it gets good. When you're holding on to the snake's head, but now it gets good. So he held on to the snake's midsection. The snake, first thing the snake did was start wrapping around his arm and crawling up his arm and heading right for his ear. And Jack and I sat there. We knew what we were about to see. But hallelujah, we didn't see it. The snake got up there and his head slid behind the preacher's neck and laid on the other side. The snake just kind of twitched. And finally, the preacher reached up, put his hand behind him and grabbed hold of the snake and pulled him off and put him back in the bag. The place just reverberated with amens and praise gods and hallelujahs. I mean, it was just quite the scene. About this time, I had a real urge that I wanted to go to the bathroom, but Jack said, no, man, come on, watch. Now the amateurs are going to do it. So then the preacher walked over to these five guys that were sitting on the chairs. And I swear I saw some knees trembling. You know what I'm saying? Not that up and down thing, but I'm talking about side to side trembling. And he come over to one of these old boys. I don't know what his name was. James Lewis, stand up. And James Lewis stood up. James Lewis, you believe? I do, preacher. James Lewis, you believe? I do, preacher. Then put your hand in, as God said, and hold the serpent. James Lewis sat down. He just sat down. He started crying and blubbering. Oh, good Lord. I can't do it, Reverend. I just can't do it. I can't put my hand. I haven't got the faith. I'm sorry, Reverend. That's all right, James Lewis. Spirit is not with you tonight. And he moved down to the next man. William! Yes, Reverend. I want you to stay. And he stood up before the Reverend could even get it finished. Put your hand in the bag and take up the serpent. William looked over at his wife. William must have been about 30. Looked over at his wife, and his wife was sitting there with a little baby in her arms, and you could see that William was like, I might have to see you next time in heaven, dear. And he reached into that bag. And you could hear the rattling and the noises and the squirming. And William pulled his arm out. Without saying a word, he immediately sat down, and there, right at the inside part of his wrist, Jack and I could see were two little old puncture holes. There they were. Reverend, he bit me. He bit you. He did, Reverend. Amen. We need to pray for this boy. So the Reverend real quick tied the sack back up. The other three guys sitting up there, you could just hear him go, oh, Jesus God. Because they weren't going to handle snakes that night. But poor old William, he sat there, and the congregation gathered around him, everybody taking real careful steps around that bag. Trust me on this one. And when they all gathered around him, they started praying and laying on hands. And his wife, holding the baby, got up and went outside. And they prayed this way, and they prayed that way. And they brought down the love of God and the protection of Jesus. Amen. Well, about that time, I said, don't you think we ought to go someplace and find a payphone and call for help? And Jack said, you know, that might be a good idea. So we got up and kind of backed out of that place and got in the old Oldsmobile and drove back into Lafayette and found a payphone and called the sheriff's office because there wasn't any, you know, hospital or anything like that. And we told them what happened. What church is it? Is it that old Mount Moriah Baptist Church out there on the Butter Road? Yes, sir, I think that's what it is. All right, we'll send somebody out there. So Jack and I left. And all the way back to Atlanta, We just marveled. Now we smoked a joint. And we just marveled at what we had just seen. We marveled at the fact that these folks were willing to put their hands into a mass of death in order to prove to who? Their faith. But it wasn't faith that they were trying to prove. It was something else. And to this day, I can't figure out what it was. I have no idea what they were doing. I would no more stick one of my appendages into a bag of copperheads and rattlesnakes than I would jump off a cliff somewhere. But these folks would work themselves into a fervor to the point where they could do it. So, a West Virginia pastor died yesterday. A serpent-handling West Virginia pastor after his rattlesnake bit him, just as the man had apparently watched the snake kill his own father years before. Do you get this? Pentecostal pastor Mark Wolford, 44 years old, had an outdoor service at the Panther Wildlife Management Area in West Virginia Sunday. Wasn't yesterday, Sunday. And he put up a notice on his Facebook page prior to the event. He wrote, "I'm looking for a great time this Sunday. It's going to be a homecoming like the old days. Good old Raised and Holler or Mountain Ridge Running, Holy Ghost filled, speaking in tongues, signed believers." Preacher's sister told the Washington Post that 30 minutes into the outdoor service, Wolford passed around a poisonous timber rattlesnake, which eventually bit him. His sister said, "Well, he laid it on the ground and he sat down next to the snake and it bit him on the thigh." His sister said the preacher was then transported to a family member's home in Bluefield, West Virginia, about 80 miles away to recover. But as the situation worsened, he was taken to a hospital where he later died. Officials at the Panther Wildlife Management Area said they'd been unaware that Sunday's event had been planned until they were notified by callers after the service. Hoy Murphy, public information officer for the West Virginia Division of Natural Resources, told ABC News, quote, "We didn't know that this event was happening, and if we had known about it, if we had been asked for permission would not have been granted." But you see, snake handling is legal in West Virginia, in Kentucky. As a matter of fact, I think Kentucky and Tennessee have finally banned the practice. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and they shall drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Right before he died, preacher said, "Anybody can do it that believes it. Anybody got a drink of water?
Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman. Side the snake." Now she clutched him to her bosom. "You're so beautiful," she cried. "But if I hadn't brought you in, by now you might have died." Now she stroked his pretty skin again, and then kissed and held him tight. But instead of saying thanks, that snake gave her a vicious bite. "Take me in, oh tender woman. Take me in, for heaven's sake. Take me in, tender woman. Side the snake."
Man, would you like to say you can easily lose belly fat without strict diets or rigorous exercise? Clinical studies show that men who boost their testosterone experience amazing results in reduced belly fat. That's right, testosterone melts belly fat. You've probably heard about some of the benefits of boosting testosterone, such as stronger sex drive and sexual performance, more energy, and even lower cholesterol. But chances are you haven't heard that increasing testosterone causes fat loss. Would you like to boost your testosterone and easily lose belly fat? Then try Andro 400.
Listen to what Calvin from Las Vegas said.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about 3 months, and I feel amazing. Drop 35 pounds, no aches or pains, and I have a new zest for life.
So men, go to andro400.com today and find out how you can naturally boost your testosterone and lose belly fat easily and inexpensively. That's andro400.com, andro400.com.
And I miss my loved one so. In the early morning rain, with no place to go, on runway number 9, big 707 set to go. This old airport's got me down. It's no earthly good to me, 'cause I'm stuck here on the ground. Cold and drunk as I might be,
can't jump a jet plane like a freight train. So I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain.
So I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the door.
This is a place where eternally fire is applied to their body. Teeth are extruded and bones are ground and baked into cakes which are passed around.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. So anyway, this guy, Mark Walford, Pentecostal pastor who passed on Sunday about 10 half hours after he was bitten. He was 44, and he watched his own father die at the age of 39 after rattlesnake bit him during a similar service. Walford told the Washington Post magazine, referring to his dad, when he got bit, he said he wanted to die in the church. 3 hours after he was bitten, his kidney shut down. After a while, your heart stops. I hate to see him go, but he died for what he believed in. And this guy told the Washington Post magazine last year, I know it's real. It is the power of God. If I didn't do it, if I'd never gotten back involved, it'd be the same as denying the power and saying it was not real. Well, where does it say in the Bible that you shouldn't tempt or mock the cloud being? Wow. I saw that. Somebody sent that to me today, and I just saw, I'll be damned. Still doing that. Still taking up servants, huh? Email from RPC. Mike, you went back and forth on Obama last night, and now you condemn him for high crimes, even with old W. and Cheney rhetoric. Come on. Are you applying reverse psychology? Let me digress a minute. I don't know what that means. What is reverse psychology? Is reverse psychology? I mean, you apply psychology on somebody, some kind of trickery. Is that what that expression means? Are you applying psychology? And now you're applying reverse psychology? I have no idea what that term means, but I'll continue with the email. Let's say that Obama has truly committed by fiat the crimes you condemn him for. Just how much pull do you think he has against decades of entrenched right-wing, big military, big biz, big money powers that be? He's just one skinny black man with a constituency behind him as reliable as a puppy mill poodle. Everything he does is a study in finesse because he has the big decisions, control equivalency of a fisherman reeling in an 80-pound catfish with 4-pound test. In the end, the powers that be are going to do whatever the hell they want. Obama can protest and appear powerless, or he can take ownership and maintain face. But none of this is new to you. We've both been raging against the shock doctrine machine since Nixon and Pinochet and Friedman invented it. And so they are applying it on American soil now. The Koch GOP takeover and usurpation of Wisconsin. They are trying to discourage the recall next week and exaggerated Walker support, so let's counter that with encouragement to vote. And since you know Romney would be a far greater crime than anything the powers do while Obama is in office, let's encourage voting for Obama, because we know that perfection, like Reagan, is a myth. And no one wants Mama Grizzly sitting on the Supreme Court for 25 years. Whatever psychology works, let's encourage the more sane route. We both have children, too. I think the message here in this email is kind of a reprimand to me for pointing out true stuff. And I don't know how to respond to that except to say, when we come back after this top of the hour break, I have something that you might find interesting. It was posted to Sheila posted it at Op-Ed News. And it's about the New York Times love letter to Barack Obama's murder racket. It's written by Chris Floyd. I don't know if you saw it on Sunday's New York Times or Monday's New York Times, an article about the death squad that Barack Obama is personally directing from the White House. This is not being done by fiat. This is not done by a committee. The names and the faces and the histories are selected by who knows who. And they're all submitted to the President of the United States, who then determines whether or not these people will be targeted for assassination. And Chris Floyd says, "I must at last admit defeat." And when I read that story Monday in the Times, I felt just about the same thing. I didn't put it the way Chris Floyd puts it, but I read that story in the Times, and I thought, well, you know, this is kind of it for me. It's like knowing when to quit in a poker game, maybe. You know, you've still got some money left, but you've sat there all night. You know that the cards are running against you, or the players you're up against are better bluffers, or you're off your game, or what have you. But there comes a point in the poker game where you just think, okay, I can sit here. Now, this is based on the fact that you are not, you know, some kind of a compulsive, freaked-out gambler. You're sitting down there to win some money. But there comes a point when you realize that this is not your night. And so before you are totally cleaned out and have borrowed money and written checks and so on and so forth, you say, this is it. I'm finished. The game's up for me. and then you stand up, let somebody else take your chair. And when I read that thing in the Times on Monday, I had that feeling like, dear God, I mean, what is the point in continuing to discuss our political system and whether or not it can be salvaged when you have a Democratic president who is, I'm being a little dramatic here, but who has assigned himself the duty of being the head of a brand new Murder Incorporated. Now, I'll tell you what Chris Floyd had to say when we come back, if you're still here. Stick around, though. I'm Mike Malloy. Painful joints can be life-changing. Here's what Darren from Portland said about his experience using NovaJoint, the doctor-designed glucosamine alternative. Quote, after enduring the pain of carpal tunnel syndrome surgery on both hands, I started taking NovaJoint with the hope it would offer just a little relief. To my surprise, it started working almost immediately. The constant swelling in my hands was dramatically reduced, and a knot that had been forming on one finger has completely vanished. Over time, the pain of both hands is barely noticeable, and I'm able to play the guitar pain-free once again. I continue to take NovaJoint and probably always will. It truly has been a life changer for me. Signed, Darren. Well, thanks for purchasing NovaJoint and sharing your experience. You know, you can take control and make joint stress a part of your past. Get a special price on a bottle of NovaJoint with my discount code MIKE or save on three bottles with MIKE3. Go ahead and share these codes with your friends. Just go to NovaJoint.com and don't wait. Feel great.
Already I'm so lonesome, I could all my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could cry. All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome, I could cry. So kiss me and smile.
smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back, I'll wear your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes, I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the time I won't have to say. Kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go.
I dig rock and roll music and I love to get the chance to play
and sing it.
I figure it's about the happiest sound going down today. The message may not move me or mean a great deal to me, but hey, it feels so groovy to say. I dig the mamas and the papas at the Trip Sunset Strip in L.A. And
they got
a good thing going when the words don't get in the way. Michelle and Cass are sailing. Hey, they really nail me to the wall. Yeah.
Dunnevin, Candlevin, the gin, trip that way. His Chris tell images. Hey, he tell you about the brighter day.
And when the features I could really get it on in that scene. I think I could say something if you know what I mean.
Thank you.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy program. Okay, you know, a lot of people will take the time to write me an email, which I appreciate, and, you know, get kind of scolding, which is their right, about my position on Barack Obama, that I do not support his reelection. I'm not going to advocate for it or against it. I'll just state my case. But Chris Floyd is commenting on the articles in Monday's New York Times. The Times article was called "Secret Kill List," with quotes around kill list, proves a test of Obama's principles and will. And that's how the New York Times put it. And as Chris Floyd writes, it's not so much a newspaper story as a love letter to death, to the awe-inspiring and fear-inducing power of death, as personified by Barack Obama in his temporary role as the manager of a ruthless, lawless imperial state. In the cringing obsequiousness of the multitude of insiders and sycophants who march in goose-step through the story, we can see the awe and fear, indeed the worship, of death-dealing power. This enthrallment permeates the Times story, both in the words of the cringers and in the giddy thrill the writers display in gaining such delicious access to the inner sanctum. In any other age, including the last administration, this story would have been presented as a scandalous exposé. The genuinely creepy scenes of the so-called nominating process alone, how these people are selected to be on the list, would have been seen as horrific revelations. Imagine the revulsion at the sight of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld sifting through PowerPoint slides of, quote, suspected terrorists, end quote, all over the world and giving their Nero-like thumbs up or thumbs down as each swarthy face pops up on a screen in front of them. Imagine the tidal wave of moral outrage from the so-called Netroots Nation and other progressive champions directed at Bush, not only for operating a death squad, which he did, but then trotting out Condi and Colin and Bob Gates to brag about it openly and to paint Bush as some kind of moral avatar for the careful consideration and philosophical rigor he applied to blowing human beings to bits in sneak attacks on faraway villages. Imagine that. But the New York Times piece is billed as just another so-called process story about an interesting aspect of Obama's presidency, part of an election year series assessing his record. The story is based entirely on the viewpoints of Beltway insiders. The very few little dollops of mild criticism of the murder program are voiced by figures from deep within the imperial machine, and even these caveats are mostly tactical in nature, based on one question: does the program work? Is it effective? There's not a single line in the Times story that ever suggests, even slightly, that the program might be morally wrong. There's not a single line in the story suggesting that such a program should be up for debate or even examined by Congress. Nor is there even a perfunctory quote from mainstream organizations such as the ACLU or Amnesty or Human Rights Watch or from anyone in Pakistan or Yemen or any other main targets of Obama's proudly proclaimed and personally approved death squad. In other words, this portrait in the New York Times of an American president signing off week after week after week after week on the extrajudicial murder of people all over the world is presented as something completely uncontroversial. Indeed, the main thrust of the story is not the fact that human beings, including many women, children, and men who have no connection whatsoever to terrorism, alleged or otherwise, are being regularly killed by the United States government. No, the main focus is how this program illustrates Barack Obama's evolving style of leadership during the course of his presidency. That's what's really important. The murders, The eviscerated bodies, the children with their skulls bashed in, the pregnant women burned alive in their own homes are just background. Unimportant. Non-controversial. Here's how it works. According to the Times, every week or so, more than 100 members of the government's sprawling national security apparatus gather by secure video teleconference to pore over terrorist suspects' biographies and recommend to the president who should be the next to die. This secret so-called nominations process is an invention of the Obama administration, a grim debating society that vets the PowerPoint slides bearing the names, aliases, and life stories of suspected members of Al-Qaeda's branch in Yemen or its allies in Somalia's Shabab militia. A parallel, more cloistered selection process at the CIA focuses largely on Pakistan, where that agency conducts strikes. The nominations go to the White House, where by his own insistence and guided by Mr. Brennan, Mr. Obama must approve any name. He signs off on every strike in Yemen and Somalia and also on the more complex and risky strikes in Pakistan. Aides say Mr. Obama has several reasons for becoming so immersed in lethal counterterrorism operations. A student of Writings on War by Augustine and Thomas Aquinas, he believes that he should take more responsibility for such actions. Mr. Daley, the former chief of staff, said, quote, he realizes this isn't science. This is judgments made off of, most of the time, human intelligence. The president accepts as a fact that a certain amount of screw-ups are going to happen. And to him, that calls for a more judicious process, end quote. And as Chris Floyd writes, again, words fail. Aides pumping reporters with stories about the wise, judicious philosopher King consulting Aquinas and Augustine before sending a drone missile on a signature strike on a group of picnickers in Yemen or farmers in Pakistan. The philosopher King himself nobly taking on the moral responsibility for mass murder and the cavalier assertion that a certain amount of screw-ups are going to happen. A bland, blithe acceptance that you are in fact going to slaughter innocent human beings on a regular basis, precisely as if you walked up to an innocent man on the street, put a gun to his head, and blew his brains out all over the sidewalk, then walked away, absolved, unconcerned, and free to kill again. And again. And again. This psychopathic serial killing is evidently what Augustine meant by moral responsibility. Gee, who knew? Obama's deep concern for moral responsibility is also reflected in his decision to kill according to signature strikes. That is, to kill people you don't know or haven't even popped up on your PowerPoint slides if you think they might possibly look or act like alleged potential terrorists, or if you receive some so-called human intelligence from an agent or an informer or someone with a grudge or someone seeking payment that a group of people doing something somewhere might be terrorists. This moral responsibility is also seen in Obama's decision to court all military-age males in a strike zone, or to count them, all military-age males in a strike zone as combatants, unless there is explicit intelligence posthumously proving them innocent.
So now we talk about distraction, about the way that we might go.
Stop! talking to you about a medical breakthrough for men in the sexual health world that uses cutting-edge technology. This amazing product is called Retoxor, and the results have been remarkable on the subjects who were studied during case testing. Legally, all I'm allowed to say on the radio is that the before and after comparisons are nothing short of shocking. Be one of the first 50 callers right now and find out how to get Retoxor for free. Due to the private nature of Retoxor, we have created an identity protection program, which absolutely guarantees you that nobody will ever know you participated. Your name will never appear in any delivery, and there will be no emails or phone calls. As a matter of fact, we won't even ask you for your name when you call.
Shocking before and afters. 800-829-2613. Your identity is completely protected. 800-829-2613. Call 800-829-2613 right now.
So I told him that he'd better shut his mouth and do his job like a man. And he answered, "Listen, Father, I will never kill another. He thinks he's better than his brother that died. What the hell does he think he's doing to his father who brought him up right? Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you lose, you're only losing your life." Tell the jailer not to bother with his meal of bread and water today. He is fasting till the killing's over. He's a martyr. He thinks he's a prophet, but he's a coward. He's just playing a game. He can't do it. He can't change it. It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose now, you must choose now. And if you
standing up to the flying monkey right, it's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour, finishing up with the Chris Floyd, not Chris Hedges, Chris Floyd. You can find this at Op-Ed News. So, according to his former chief of staff, Daley, what was his first name? I forget. the moral responsibility that Obama wants to take on includes his decision to count all military-age males in a strike zone as combatants, unless there is explicit intelligence posthumously proving them innocent, end quote. Guilty until proven posthumously innocent. That's some moral responsibility. As Floyd writes, here Obama has surpassed Augustine and Aquinas. Yes, even the great Aristotle himself, in this bold extension of the parameters of moral responsibility. Intelligence posthumously proving them innocent. It is, Chris Floyd writes, I confess beyond all my imagining that a national leader so deeply immersed in murdering people would trumpet his atrocities so openly, so gleefully, and so deliberately, sending his top aides out to collude in a major story in the nation's leading newspaper to ensure maximum exposure of his killing spree. Although many leaders have wielded such powers, they almost always seek to hide or obscure the reality of the operation. Even the Nazis took enormous pains to hide the true nature of their murder programs from the public. And one can scarcely conceive of Stalin inviting reporters from Pravda into the Politburo meetings where he and Molotov and Beria debated the lists of counter-revolutionary terrorists given to them by the KGB and ticked off those who would live and those who would die. Of course, those lists, too, were based on intelligence reports, often gathered through strenuous interrogation techniques or the reports of informers. No doubt these reports were every bit as credible as the PowerPoint presentations reviewed each week by Obama and his team. And no doubt Stalin and his team were just as sincerely concerned about national security as the Aquinas acolyte in the White House today, and just as determined to do whatever it takes to preserve that security. As Stalin liked to say of the innocent people caught up in his national security efforts, when wood is chopped, chips fly. Of course, he was an evil man, without any sense of moral responsibility at all. In our much more enlightened times, under the guidance of a Nobel Peace Prize laureate in the White House, we are so much wiser, so much better, we say, a certain amount of screw-ups are going to happen. Isn't that much more nuanced? Isn't that much more moral? There is more, much more to this nullity and rotting hypocrisy and vapid sycophancy in this story in the Times, but I don't have the strength. I don't have the strength or the stomach to wade any further through this swamp. It stinks of death. It taints and stains us all. So, Chris Floyd at Op-Ed News and probably other places around the web. And that's my response by other means, by other writers, by other voices to this constant kind of admonition that I get now, again, now that we're in the madness, fraud, deception of the presidential race. It's to the people who are very put off by the fact that I am supposed to be a liberal or a progressive or a Democrat at heart, and I don't come out unequivocally in favor of Barack Obama over Mitt Romney. Well, there are other liberals and lefties who will do that for you if that's what you need, but I won't. And I think the reasons are pretty obvious. But that has nothing to do with you. That's only me. That only has to do with my inability to accept as a great visionary and transformative president, someone who actually will sit and put the magic checklist next to these names.
And a place to let your mind drift and get out of this place. I believe there's a day and a place that we will go to, and I know you want to share. There's no secret to live in. Just keep on walking. There's no secret to dying. Just keep on flying. I'm gonna die in a place that don't know mine.
Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-890-6408. That's 1-800-890-6408. 1-800-890-6408.
This year, nearly 242,000 men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. Hello, this is Reggie Jackson telling you to talk to your father, brother, grandfather, uncle, and friends about prostate cancer, and then join me in the Prostate Cancer Foundation to help keep Dad in the game. Go to PCF.org and make a pledge for the Prostate Cancer Foundation's Home Run Challenge. Again, PCF.org. Let's keep Dad in the game. Make a pledge. Make a difference.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
Come on up here and sit down on the porch.
I love staying here. How long have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Back again, and there is love.
Well, then what's to be the reason for becoming man and wife?
25 before the hour. I want to play a little bit of sound for you. It's going to be a little bit hard to hear this. It's gone viral on the web. Jude sent it to me. This is a bit of tape taken from, or not tape, but video, an audio taken from Apostolic Truth Tabernacle in Greensburg, Indiana. And it was a little boy, a little four-year-old boy is up on stage, and he's going to sing a song. And the song has lines in it like this: the Bible is right, somebody's wrong. Romans 1 and 27, ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven. And before this little boy can finish the song, members of the congregation, if you can see the video, are, you know, jumping to their feet, applauding. You can hear one man say, "That's my boy!" Now, apparently, this filthy toilet of a church. I mean, it's just astonishing. A little four-year-old kid. Now, it's going to be hard to hear what he says, but I think you can hear the last bit right before these psychotic sons of bitches jump up in their suits and they're jumping around. These are all white folks, by the way, jumping and clapping and cheering about this little four-year-old boy saying, "Ain't no homo going to go to heaven." Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven. Listen to them. Listen to these son of a bitches. It's like they're having sex, isn't it? Listen to them. Teach your children well, you twisted, perverted bastards, you. Unbelievable stuff. Just unbelievable stuff. Ain't no homo gonna make it to heaven. It's a four-year-old kid. A four-year-old kid. Now, you think that's bad? It is. The story of Saul and the Amalekites. It's hard to say. The Amalekites. That story in the Bible has been used to justify genocide forever. The Bible has thousands of passages that these sick sons of bitches use to justify murder and mayhem and anti-woman attitudes and mass killing. In the book of, in 1 Samuel 15:3, God says to Saul, quote, "Now go, attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." So Saul dutifully exterminated the women, the children, the babies, and all the men. But then he spared the king. He also saved some of the tastier-looking calves and lambs. And this sick son-of-a-bitch god of theirs was furious with him for his failure to finish the job. Now, this story has been used to justify genocide throughout the ages. According to Pennsylvania State University professor Philip Jenkins, a contributing editor for the American Conservative, the Puritans used this passage when they wanted to murder Native American tribes. Catholics used it against Protestants. Protestants used it against Catholics. In Rwanda in 1994, Hutu preachers invoked King Saul's memory to justify the total slaughter of their Tutsi neighbors. Well, this fall, more than 100,000 American public school children, ranging in age from 4 to 12, are scheduled to receive instruction in the lessons of Saul and the Amalekites in the comfort of their own public school classrooms, right? The instruction, which features in the second week of a weekly Bible study course, will come from the Good News Club, an after-school program sponsored by a group called the Child Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF. The aim of the CEF is to convert young children to a fundamentalist form of the Christian faith. There are now over 3,200 clubs in public elementary schools, which is up more than sevenfold since that 2001 Supreme Court decision, Good News Club versus Milford Central School, that effectively required schools to include such clubs in their after-school programming. The CEF has been teaching the story of the Amalekites at least since 1973. In its earlier curriculum material, CEF was euphemistic about the bloodshed, saying simply that the Amalekites were completely defeated. But in the most recent version of the curriculum, the group is quite eager to drive the message home to these elementary school kids. The first thing the curriculum makes clear is that if God gives instruction to kill a group of people, you must kill every last one. This is what it says. Quote, "You are to go and completely destroy the Amalekites, people, animals, every living thing. Nothing shall be left." That was pretty clear, wasn't it? The manual tells the teachers to say to the kids. That was pretty clear, wasn't it? Even more important, the Good News Club wants the children to know the Amalekites were targeted for destruction on account of their religion or lack of it. The instruction manual reads, quote, "The Amalekites had heard about Israel's true and living God many years before, but they refused to believe in him. The Amalekites refused to believe in God, and God had promised punishment." End quote, the manual. The instruction manual goes on to champion obedience in all things. In fact, pretty much every lesson that the Good News Club gives involves reminding children that they must, at all costs, obey. If God tells you to kill non-believers, he really wants you to kill them. All. No questions asked, No exceptions allowed. Asked if Saul would pass the test of obedience, the text points to Saul's failure to annihilate every last Amalekite. And the text then poses the rhetorical question, if you're asked to do something, how much of it do you need to do before you can say, I did it? The lesson concludes, if only Saul had been willing to seek God for strength to obey. And a review question in the textbook seeks to drive the point home further. How did King Saul only partly obey God when he attacked the Amalekites? Well, he did not completely destroy as God had commanded. He kept the king and some of the animals alive. So the CEF and the legal advocacy groups that have been responsible for its tremendous success over the past 10 years are determined to, quote, knock down all the doors, all the barriers to all 65,000 public elementary schools in America and take the gospel to this open mission field now, not later, now, in the words of a keynote speaker at the CEF's national convention last year. The CEF wants to operate in the public schools rather than in churches because they know that young children associate the public schools with authority and are unable to distinguish between activities that take place in a school and those that are sponsored by the school. In the majority opinion that opened the door to this craziness, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas reasoned that the activities of the CEF were not really religious after all. He said that they could be characterized for legal purposes, quote, as the teaching of morals and character development from a particular viewpoint, end quote. As Justices Souter and Stevens pointed out in their dissents, however, the claim is preposterous. The CEF plainly aims to teach religious doctrines and conduct services of worship. Uncle Clarence's claim is particularly ironic in view of the fact that the CEF makes quite clear its intent to teach that no amount of moral or ethical behavior can spare a non-believer from an eternity in hell. When does a religious group qualify as a hate group?
A cafeteria line in Chicago. That man in front of me is calling black people trash to his children, when he's the only trash here I see. And I'm thinking this man wears white clothes in the night when his children should sleep. But they'll slip to their windows and they'll see how, and they'll think that white hood's all they need. 'Cause it's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life. It's a hard life wherever you go. And if we poison our children with hatred,
men, would you like to safely and easily lose belly fat without strict diets or rigorous exercise? Clinical studies show that men who boost their testosterone experience amazing results in reduced belly fat. That's right, testosterone melts belly fat. You've probably heard about some of the benefits of boosting testosterone, such as stronger sex drive and sexual performance, more energy, and even lower cholesterol. But chances are you haven't heard that increasing testosterone causes fat loss. Would you like to boost your testosterone and easily lose belly fat? Then try Andro 400. Listen to what Calvin from Las Vegas said.
I've been taking Andro 400 for about 3 months, and I feel amazing. Dropped 35 pounds, no aches or pains, and I have a new zest for life.
So, men, go to andro400.com today and find out how you can naturally boost your testosterone and lose belly fat easily and inexpensively. That's andro400.com, andro400.com.
This land is your land, this land is my land.
from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
I roamed and I rambled and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts, and all around me a voice was singing, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless skyway. I saw below me those golden valleys. This land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me.
As the sun was shining and I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving and the dust clouds rolling, as the fog was lifting, a voice was saying, this land was made for you and me.
This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. This land was made for you and me.
How many roads must a man walk down?
Ten before the hour, and Jude, who sent me that story from Seattle, wants you to know, if you're listening in Seattle, there are these hate-filled, poisonous clubs are active in the King County school system. There are two new clubs in Seattle elementaries, the Loyal Heights Elementary School and the Whittier Elementary School. Now, the information, if you live in Seattle and you want to protect your kids from this horrific poison, you can go to Americans United for Separation of Church and State, the Seattle chapter. It's augreaterseattle.org. AU stands for Americans United. augreaterseattle.org. And I think it's imperative. Now, this is not taught as part of the public, the daily curriculum. These are after-school programs that where people leave their children. And the idea is to totally and completely brainwash and destroy these children from ever, ever having the ability to think straight again for the rest of their lives until they've done a mountain of therapy. The threat from this murderous Christianity is becoming beyond belief. I mean, it's just astonishing. And people in this country are allowing this to happen. We're allowing this to happen. You know, it's amazing how easy it is to distract Americans away from the real threat, which is this poisonous Christianity, and redirect it toward Islam, redirect it towards Muslims. There was a time when it would be redirected toward the Jews. Oh, the blankety-blank Jews, while the Christians continued their destruction. Well, the new apostolic and evangelical Christians realize that they have to stop demonizing the Jews because they need the Jews. They need the Jews to fulfill their sick, twisted, murderous philosophy. And the Jews need the evangelical Christians because of this unyielding support that the evangelicals give to government after government in Israel, no matter how many atrocities they commit. These are not atrocities to evangelical Christians. This is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So whatever activities the Israelis do, or whatever activities are done against them, the evangelical Christians applaud. The evangelical Christians would love to see a slaughter in the Middle East, whether it's Jew or Arab who dies. They don't care. They don't care. There has to be this cataclysmic Armageddon. But this is madness, and this is happening right inside our country, inside our public school buildings now. This is how insidious and vile these people are. And the American public just cruises along like, oh, well, you know, I can't think about that stuff. I'm worried about something else. And this so-called Good News Club, which is sponsored by the Child Evangelical Fellowship, is now in the public school system. It's like a goddamn disease. It's like poison. It's like this insidious, murderous, stinking corruption that it's after your child. And we just, I don't know, we just cruise along. Hey, eh. I don't want to pay more taxes for public schools. What's the boy talking about tonight? Public schools? Oh, goddamn the public schools. I had enough of those. If you live in Seattle, AUSeattle.org, that's Americans United for Separation of Church and State. If you live in Seattle and you have a child in the elementary grades, four-year-olds up to 12-year-olds, be warned that this insidious, hate-filled, poisonous, murderous belief system is targeting your child. I can't get my mind around this stuff. You see, if you see that video, little four-year-old kid up there, ain't no homos going to heaven. And these sick sons of bitches jumping up, these white men just laughing and applauding and hooting and hollering, that's my boy, them goddamn queers. These are people who claim that they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. They're born again. They're born again into goddamn murderous, flesh-eating zombies. I can't say enough about it, and I'll continue to say it. And if you are religious and you believe this garbage, this vomitous crap, you don't want to listen to this radio program because I will piss you off. The truth about this stuff usually does piss people off. It makes them furious. It makes them murderous. You know, the truth of a woman having the right to privacy makes these crazy goddamn people pick up rifles and go kill doctors. You want these people around your children? You people in Seattle, I'll try to do some research and find out how many other cities are being infested by these bastards. But you people in Seattle, especially in light of what happened today, you might take notice about what's going on in your public school system. If you've been wondering about trying NovaJoint, the glucosamine alternative for flexible, smooth-gliding joints, here's what one of my listeners had to say. Quote, "It hasn't been 2 weeks since first taking NovaJoint, and I've already noticed more fluid motion in my knees. I enjoy running, and it seems my recovery time is getting shorter. I seem to be heading in the right direction." Signed, Edward. Well, thanks to my listeners who've purchased NovaJoint, this product has helped many with a range of concerns, from those who reluctantly relied on painkillers to active runners like Edward. Now, if you feel that joint stress is getting in the way of your enjoyment and quality of life, then try NovaJoint, the glucosamine alternative that helps people love how they feel. Take advantage of a special limited-time discount just for my listeners. You can get a special price on a bottle of NovaJoint with my discount code, M-I-K-E, or save on three bottles with M-I-K-E-3. Go ahead and share these codes with your friends, by the way. Just go to NovaJoint.com and don't wait. Feel great.
How many seas must a white dove sail before she sleeps in the sand? How many times must the cannonballs fly before they're forever banned? The answer, my friend, is blowing. How many years must a mountain exist before it is washed to the sea? How many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free? How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see? The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind. How many times must a man look up before he can see the sky? How many ears must one man have before he can hear people cry? How many deaths will it take till he knows that too many people have died? Blowing in the wind, the answer is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wind.
Most of all, was a racehorse, and I wish he were mine. He never drank water, he always drank wine. His bridle was silver, his mane it was gold, and the worth of his saddle has never been told. For the fairgrounds were crowded, and the slew ball was there, but the bedding was heavy on the bay and the mare, and away out yonder, ahead of them all, came a prancing and a dancing, my noble Stubal. I bet on the bay. If I'd have been on old Stubal, I'd be a free man today. Oh, the hoot owl she hollered, and the turtle dove moaned. I'm a poor boy in drank
it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe. It don't matter anyhow. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. When the rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone.
Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. The phone number here is 877-996-2556 if you'd like to call in. From Prairie 2, Bruce Enberg, who is our economic affairs correspondent, the following. The chickens are naked and proud. What could that mean? Bruce writes, the Dow fell like a rock today. The reported reason for this was the Wall Street Bank's exposure to Spanish bonds. But it was industrials like Alcoa and Caterpillar that were the big losers, followed by the oil companies, and only then the banks. Oil company profits are expected to decline with the falling price of gasoline, as if they didn't still have a monopoly. Companies like Caterpillar are locked in major labor disputes where they are attempting to strip the benefits from so-called second-tier union employees. These are people hired since Reagan broke the unions. They typically receive in the neighborhood of $11 an hour plus benefits. In Romneyland, these benefits have to go. The hourly wages these workers receive are the same or less than the minimum wage of 25 cents an hour, adjusted for inflation, that workers got under the New Deal in 1938. Union wages were several times that then, but not in our brave new world of unregulated capitalism. Another 200,000 people are losing unemployment benefits under the deal the Republicans forced through Congress in December as more states come under this austerity plan. The long-term unemployed in this country are now currently out of work even longer than those similarly affected during the Great Depression of the 30s. Of course, they had the New Deal then. We don't. Even President Hoover tried to put people back to work. The right wing today calls Hoover misguided. The people who try to make sense of the retirement swindle plans estimate that the typical couple retiring now, after paying into a 401k since Reagan invented them, has paid $155,000 in hidden fees. Some have been swindled out of several times that. New regulations to be put in place by Obama in July will force companies to reveal to you how bad they are ripping you off. It won't stop the practice, but the Republicans are spitting mad just the same. Mad that you're going to know about it. Obama signed into law today the renewal of the Import-Export Bank that Republicans had sought to kill under the guise of fiscal responsibility, even though it is self-funded from fees, not taxes. They just want to crash the economy under Obama's watch. But enough Republicans lost their nerve in this election year for it to pass anyway. It turns out that the New York Fed that supervises J.P. Morgan Chase with a staff of 60 on-site auditors wasn't watching the highly risky operations they were running that has so far lost at least $5 billion. By the way, Jamie Dimon, who is the CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase, sits on the New York Fed board and has the ability to pay anybody who works for the Fed a lifetime of income for a short stint as a consultant on their way to retirement in the Caymans. All perfectly legal, of course. It's now official that Obama won't be going to Wisconsin in advance of the Koch brothers' own governor's recall election. This has certain liberal groups fuming, but not everyone in Wisconsin agrees that the president should come. Let's do a little reality check. The Obama campaign in Chicago has a supercomputer, the smartest people in the world to run it, and millions of dollars worth of polling data to feed into it. They've decided that Obama's appearance would only fire up the Republican base, who might otherwise let Walker be recalled, since the FBI will get him soon anyway. Obama has devoted considerable resources behind the scenes to promote the recall just the same. Democrats in Wisconsin don't need to see Obama to be fired up. They already have their pitchforks sharpened. Their torches are lit. The tar is boiling. And every chicken in the state is naked, having given its feathers for a good cause. Governor Walker should be able to fly after next Tuesday. PrairieNumeral2.com is his website. Bruce Enberg is his name. Thanks, Bruce. Arnold is in Durham, North Carolina. Hello, Arnold.
Hey, my man. How you doing, brother?
If I was doing any better, I would be under suspicion. No, I'm just kidding, Arnold. I'm not doing well at all. I'm half freaked out, and the other half just wants to, go home, get in bed, pull the covers over my head, have my mother bring me oatmeal in the morning. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean by that, right?
Right.
It's just freaky out here. It's just, everything is just too freaky.
Everything, man, is just geared to becoming a fascist, capitalistic. I'm telling you, hell for everybody in this country. And you were just talking about Obama showed up in Wisconsin. If he showed up with them pair of easy shoes that he promised to wear.
Mm-hmm.
With the union, if you showed up with them and said, "Well, look, instead of what I promised you, here I am now with my easy shoes. Let's march to the polls." I mean, he would turn this whole election around.
Right, but you
nationwide,
know,
nationwide. But you know, it's
just not going to happen. I don't think there's I don't think there's any leader, any Democratic leader, who would do that. I don't see any of the powerful voices in the U.S. Senate doing that. I don't see anybody in powerful voices in the U.S. House who are Democrats doing that. The game is rigged, Arnold. I think you and I know this. The game is rigged. These Democrats, the National Democrats, are sitting back going, okay, well, you know, let's see what happens, but we're not going to get any of this mess slopped all over our $6,000 suits. We're just going to watch and see what happens. It's this cowardice on the part of the Democrats. And somebody might say, well, Mike, what the hell good would a Democratic senator do by going to Wisconsin? Well, it might rally the Democrats who are going to need to be rallied to get off their asses and recall this punk before he completely, not only destroys Wisconsin, but starts the process of destroying other states, too. It's a mess, Arnold. It's just a mess.
It's terrible. It's terrible nationwide like that. And they just, they don't look like they don't really give a good rat. You know, the chairman of the Democratic Party, what's her name down there?
Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah, they've been calling for her to help, and she's like, you know, I can't. It's just, man, it makes you sick just to listen to them, you know.
I know.
It kind of reminds you of Kerry when he left it. He left the Democrats on the battlefield in Ohio. And he said, "Well, I guess elections are what they are, you know." Instead of fighting, you know, he left people laying on the battlefield who had to rally, who had to go up and get their vote for them. This Secretary of the State of Ohio, what's the name of that guy?
I don't know.
He's all gone. The black guy, Blackwell.
Ken Blackwell.
Yeah, he did everything, just like the secretary in Florida doing right now. He did everything he could do to rig that election, mess that election up.
Well, yeah, just like the Secretary of State in Florida did back in 2000. What was her name? Catherine something?
Harris. That's her name.
Catherine Harris, right.
The woman who wore all that makeup, you know, she
right.
did it all with a putty knife.
right. It's a mess. Arnold, I got to leave it there, pal. Thanks for checking in. But to answer your question, how am I doing? Not very well, pal. Not very well. Thanks, Arnold.
Opportunity that you've never had before. My name is Ellen, and I'm an attorney talking to you about a medical breakthrough for men in the sexual health world that uses cutting-edge technology. This amazing product is called Ritoxor, and the results have been remarkable on the subjects who were studied during case testing. Legally, all I'm allowed to say on the radio is that the before and after comparisons are nothing short of shocking. Be one of the first 50 callers right now and find out how to get Ritoxor for free. Due to the private nature of Ritoxor, we have created an identity protection program, which absolutely guarantees you that nobody will ever know you participated. Your name will never appear in any delivery, and there will be no emails or phone calls. As a matter of fact, we won't even ask you for your name when you call.
Shocking before and afters. 800-829-2613. Your identity is completely protected. 800-829-2613. Call 800-829-2613 right now.
Hi, Truth Seekers. It's Kathy Malloy with a message of sincere thanks to all of you who have supported our independent broadcasting efforts. Sadly, progressive media outlets and voices continue to shrink around America, and we count on our much-beloved listeners who join us around the nightly campfire to help us keep that fire lit so we can continue to fight the good fight. But we can't do it without your continued support. If you can, we ask that you purchase a podcast for yourself or as a gift for that special truth seeker in your life, or donate a podcast for our weekly trivia contest, or sponsor an hour of the Malloy Show and Mike will read your message or advertisement on the air 3 times that hour. Please visit MikeMalloy.com and click on the links at the top of the site to purchase a podcast or merchandise or sponsor an hour of the program. As always, we truly appreciate you and all that you do for the cause. That's www.MikeMalloy.com. Thank you.
Like a freight train, so I'd best be on my way in the early morning rain. So I'd best be on my way in the early.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every...
Hi, Truth Seekers. It's time for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour, Bill Boyarsky, writing at Truth Dig, talks about Obama's kill list under the headline, Who Will the President Kill Next? It's a secret. Boyarsky points out how the Times described, I don't know if you saw it or not, but more than 100 members of the government's sprawling national security apparatus, that's the way the Times put it, 100 members meet in video conference to go over potential nominees for the death list and then recommend to the president who should be the next to die. That's how the New York Times put it. And then these nominations go to the White House, where Obama, guided by his top counterterrorism advisor, John Brennan, approves names added to the list. I mean, is this okay? Now, as Boyarsky points out, this brings back, this death list stuff brings back memories of President LBJ, remember? Selecting targets for bombing in Vietnam. That was one of the arguments that the military had, that they were not allowed to set up their own kill lists, that the kill lists were being, and the bombing targets were being decided back in Washington, all the way up to LBJ. And according to Boyarsky, so intent was Johnson on micromanaging the war that he lost sight of how the bombing strengthened the will of North Vietnam. And like Johnson, Obama micromanaging the drone attacks with their killing of noncombatants is strengthening our foes. I don't know. Drone technology is growing more refined. It's growing more deadly. And Obama has dispatched these killers, robotic killers, on an increasing number of missions, more than Bush. You're aware of that. I mean, Obama, I think, sent more drone attacks and killed more people with these things in the first 18 months of his presidency than Bush-Cheney did in 8 years. Okay, so we weren't actively killing anybody the first year, and the drones were kind of primitive. Okay, what's your point? I don't know. Man. The Justice Department produced a memo justifying the killing of Americans Anwar al-Awlaki, U.S.-born cleric, and Samir Khan, U.S. citizen, traveling with him. Awlaki was a propagandist who called for more attacks on the United States. He had plotted with Abdul Muttalib, the so-called underwear bomber, whose attack on an airline bound for Detroit failed. So the Justice Department produced a memo here justifying the killing of these two, saying that internal secret executive branch deliberations satisfied Fifth Amendment requirements for due process. What? That's all you have to do. This is what they learned from Bush and Cheney and John Yoo and the terrorists who ran this government for 8 years. If you want to do something illegal, something extra-constitutional, just have the Justice Department or bring in somebody from the outside to put together a memo that says it's okay. And then have the president sign off on it and have the Justice Department Attorney General, I guess, or one of his hitmen sign off on it. And everything's cool. So according to the Obama administration, their Justice Department produced a memo justifying the killing of the so-called citizen terrorists, saying that internal, secret, executive branch deliberations satisfied the Fifth Amendment requirements for due process. How do you do that? Now, the Justice Department memos, of course, are secret and will never be made public. And what about the innocent people who are killed in the drone attacks? What about them? What about the scores, hundreds of people who have been wiped out as so-called collateral damage, men, women, and children, and children, and children, and children, and children. What about that? I mean, that doesn't count. We're not supposed to talk about that. Mr. Obama is just trying to protect the United States, right? That's all Dick Cheney was doing, right? So why talk about this? When you chop wood, chips fly. If you want scrambled egg, you got to break some. What else? What other kind of trite hog snot can we come up with here, huh? So apparently, to the majority, if not the vast majority of Americans and America's chattering classes and pundits, and this stuff is okay. They don't bring this up. Who brings this up? Who brings this up on MSNBC? Who brings this up? Anybody bring this up? I target MSNBC, in a manner of speaking, because that's where all the liberals are clustered now, right? So who brings it up? Anybody bring it up over there? I'm sure Sam Cedar brings it up, but Sam Cedar, like me, is not a liberal. We'll be right back.
Trouble, oh, trouble move from me. I have paid my debt, now won't you leave me in my misery? Trouble, oh, trouble, please be kind. I don't want no fight.
Claire, it's Anne. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all-natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-890-6408. That's 1-800-890-6408. 1-800-890-6408.
Grandpa!
Hey, there he is.
Come on up here and sit down on the porch.
I love staying here. Have you lived here?
A long time. You know, your mother grew up here.
I'm gonna have a house like this when I grow up.
I hope so, buddy. I hope so.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more.
Let me tell you some of the reasons people get into trouble with credit cards. A job loss or salary cut, an unexpected expense, a divorce, a business loss, or even helping a family member or friend in need. How do I know? Because I'm Howard Dvorkin, the founder of Consolidated Credit. I understand that credit card problems are not about overspending. It's about emergencies and unexpected situations. For nearly two decades, Consolidated Credit has helped over 5 million people just like you. We can reduce your interest rates and cut your payments up to 50%. There's a lot of ways to get into trouble with debt. There's only one trusted way to get out. Consolidated Credit. When credit card debt is the problem, we're the solution.
Call Consolidated Credit now. 1-800-232-6131. 1-800-232-6131. That's 1-800-232-6131.
5701 Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Licensed debt management service provider, Vermont and New York banking departments, Maryland 49, Oregon DM80031.
It's been going on for 10,000 years. Take your place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment. Safe now. Hunger stopped him. He lies still in his cell. Death has gagged his accusations. We are free now. We can kill. We're not guilty. place on the great Mandela as it moves through your brief moment of time. Win or lose, now you must choose now. And if you lose, you've only wasted your life. Tell me why you're crying, my son. I know you're frightened like everyone. Is it the thunder in the distance you fear? Will it help if I stay very near? I am here. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well. And if you take my hand, my son, all will be well when the day is done. Day is done. When the day is done. Day is done. Day is done. Day is done. Do you ask why I'm sighing, my son? You shall inherit what mankind has done. In a world filled with sorrow and woe, if you ask me why this is so, I really don't know.
Uh-oh, he just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
Let it be, let it be, yeah, let it be. 25 before the hour. Tim is in Detroit. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I remember in 2006 when Seymour Hersh reported that JSOC, its
right.
Special Operations Team, was employed by Cheney, specifically mentioned Cheney had employed the team not just outside but also inside the United States to assassinate those that JSOC had determined as ordered by Cheney. And you know, the liberals that I heard on the radio were, of course, condemning this activity that JSOC was doing. And now in 2012, you know, except for you and maybe a few others, and many of them are on the internet, or, you know, you really can't find them, like, on TV or on the radio for the most part. Nothing. I mean, it's all about, you know, the campaign and how Barack Obama is so much better than the Republicans. And make no mistake, I mean, obviously, if Romney wins the election, he probably won't, but if he does, he's going to continue the targeted assassinations and, you know, may escalate them. But that kind of misses the point, doesn't it? Because isn't liberalism supposed to stand for something more than if your candidate wins? And it just amazes me that very few liberals that I hear today point out the immorality of this administration writ large. They just continue to support him no matter what he does.
Well, I think the problem, first of all, I hear what you're saying. I completely agree. The problem is the so-called liberals that you see in mainstream media, and there are a clutch of them, are very carefully monitored. Now, they would tell you that that's not the case, but I'm here to tell you it is the case. There are certain topics they dare not touch. If they do touch them, their career is gone. A classic example of this was Keith Olbermann, who has been painted as a recalcitrant, hard-headed ass who nobody could manage, not Fox, not MSNBC, not CNN, and even not Current. So they paint Olbermann as the problem because Olbermann would go for the jugular. Now, I happen to know that you know, based on my own experience, this is essentially true. The last few times that I appeared on MSNBC or on CNN, it was a very iffy situation, and the executive producers would let me know that they were having trouble getting me on their air because of the supervising producers or whatever. Not that I'm important. I'm just saying I've lived through this, so I know what I'm talking about. So the so-called liberals that you hear on television and radio are not going to come close to this Obama killing machine thing for love or money, because if they do, they're going to lose their jobs. It's just that simple.
So they've been bought, basically, in other words.
Well, not blatantly bought. I don't think, you know, that a deal was made and they signed a contract that says, here's what I'm not going to talk about. But once you get into that atmosphere, you know what you are allowed and not allowed to say. You know what kind of questions you are allowed to ask when you have a guest on. And this is not just true with the so-called liberals. This is true especially with the Sunday talk shows. These people who have been on television for decades, people like Bob Schieffer, people like Judas Stephanopoulos, all these people, George Will, they know exactly how far they can go with a question and a follow-up. And they are not allowed, absolutely not allowed, to go to the heart of these matters, whether it involves Republicans or Democrats, or just not. Now, I'm going to get a lot of reaction for my saying that. A lot of people say, oh, you're crazier than hell. No, I'm not. I've been in media of one form or another for damn near 40 years. So I know what I'm talking about. I've seen the evolution or the devolution. I know what I'm talking about. So these the so-called liberals that you might see and hear on radio and television, no, they're not going to talk about this article that the Times came out with. If they do, it's going to be in a way that says, well, you know, what choice do we have? Look, the thing is, Tim, you know, this is carefully crafted. This war on terror, this is endless war for endless profit. This is never going to stop. There will always be this war on terrorism. The truth is, we started running out of people whose countries we could invade, whose governments we could overthrow, whose economies we could destroy. So let's come up and declare war on an adjective. That way, you know, terrorist, that or a noun. Let's declare war on a part of speech rather than saying, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. So it's impossible. It is impossible to ever, until the human race annihilates itself, it is impossible to declare you have won the war on an adjective or a noun. You can't do it. How do you declare that the war on terror is over? How do you do that? You don't.
It's kind of like a war on fear or anger or hatred.
Yeah, it's just never going to happen. And this is not an unconscious result of this nonsense. This is very deliberate, very conscious, very thought out. A war on terror means that you have war in perpetuity. It will never end. Now, as far as Romney, don't be so sure Romney is not going to be the next president. He would not be elected. But that doesn't mean anything in this country anymore. If a decision is made that that Romney is going to be the next president, as that decision was made where it concerned George Bush in 2000, then he, by God, will be the next president. It doesn't make any difference what people think when they go into these voting cast their vote on these filthy voting machines. So that's where we are.
So it's basically, so the corporate media, basically, you have to kind of toe the line to be in there. If you go outside of those lines, I mean, you're going
to
get fired.
Look what happened to Dan Rather. I mean, Dan Rather, who comes from the Walter Cronkite era. Dan Rather, the executive producer, the anchor on CBS. And he comes up with information that either set him up or the information was correct. And look how quick Dan Rather became history, kicked to the curb, tossed in a dumpster. So look at Keith Olbermann. I mean, people inside corporate news organizations in this country, they see that, and they don't have to be told, stay away from certain subjects. They don't have to be told. They know exactly where the lines are, and they will never, under any circumstances, cross that line. I don't care who they are. I'm not going to mention names, but I will say every single one of them will not cross those lines.
And if any of them do, obviously they'll find someone else to replace
well,
them.
Sure, sure. And you know, these people, most of these people that you see out there now are reasonably young. They're not going to trash your career. They're not going to, you know, there are all kinds of little peripheral issues that they can talk about that are shocking, but not so shocking as a president sitting down with his national security team deciding on hit lists. But they're not going to go there. There are other stories they can talk about. They can talk about the recall in Wisconsin. Some of these commentators devote their whole career to that. Well, I'm going to build my career on the recall in Wisconsin. Or I'm going to build my career on the Koch brothers. Or I'm going to build my career on the failure of the banking system. And the system in this country allows that to go on because it is wonderfully distracting. And it allows people who follow corporate media to think that they're really following muckrakers who are really trying to do something. And it's a goddamn joke. I mean, it's a complete, I'm not saying anything here that people who still can think don't already know. They know
you're,
this.
You're talking about court gestures, basically. Okay, let's point out a few issues inside the empire, but let's not challenge the empire itself.
So. Well, that's it. Tim, I got to move on. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate what you had to say. Thank you. Every time I get around Sam Cedar, he and I will have a chat. Last time was in D.C. during the arguments before the Supreme Court on the Affordable Care Act. And we talk to each other. And I do not put Sam in that group that I was just talking about. I also don't put Cenk Uygur or some of the Young Turks in that group either. But I have watched so-called liberal after so-called liberal being sucked into that corporate machine. And all of a sudden, what used to be a real attempt to expose the corruption, no matter where it is, and it's all over the place, all of a sudden that changes. Well, I'm going to expose the corruption in the attic, but I'm going to leave the corruption at the very foundation of the system alone. Because I don't want my career to end. So. It just, you know, it does get very, very, very discouraging. You have a Pulitzer Prize winner like Chris Hedges. Where, you know, former New York Times correspondent. I mean, where, what television program does he have? What regular column does he write in mainstream media? You know what I'm talking about.
Agency. Do you know the number one cause of bankruptcy? No, it's not losing your job or running up credit card debt. It's not even divorce. It's medical costs. If you and your family don't have health insurance, just one serious illness or accident could be financially devastating. But now there's good news, really good news. A health insurance hotline has been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Now anyone can get health insurance even if you have a pre-existing medical condition. I repeat, now anyone can get health insurance coverage. Call now for a free no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. Again, this is a free hotline for anyone, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Protect you and your family from sudden unexpected medical costs. Call the free health insurance hotline right now at 1-800-838-5562. That's 1-800-838-5562. Call 1-800-838-5562.
be so in love with you and so alone. Follow me where I go, what I do and who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way and all around. Take my hand and I will follow too. It's long been on my mind, you know it's been a long, long time. I'll try to find a way that I can make you understand the way I feel about you and just how much I need you to be there where I can talk to you, where there's no one else around. Follow me where I go, what I do and who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way and all around. Take my hand and I will follow too. You see, I'd like to share my life with you and show you things I've seen, places where I'm going to, places where I've been, to have you there beside me and never feel alone. And all the time that you're with me, then we will be at home. Follow me where I go, what I do and who I know. Make it part of you to be a part of me. Follow me up and down, all the way. Take my hand and I will follow too.
The falling rain, weave me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again. Sing it with me.
Weave me the sunshine out of the falling. Weave me the hope of a new tomorrow and fill my cup again
now.
Ten before the hour, from Michael in Roswell, New Mexico, the very simple rebuttal to claims that the Obama administration's assassination plans are legal is that the Obama administration has steadfastly avoided having the secret process tested in open court with unbiased judges, either through refusing to provide evidence on the basis of secrecy, as in ACLU cases, to reveal the legal decisions that have not been revealed, or on the basis of standing, as when al-Awlaki's father attempted to get a determination on due process on behalf of his son. What we do have now is secret law carried out in monarchical fashion, in which the courts may not interfere, and in which due process has been redefined to mean the opposite of its accepted meaning. It is the very definition of tyranny, if we bothered to consider it as such. Michael and Roswell. Yeah, I mean, why is that so hard for people who otherwise are appear to be clear thinking. Why is this impossible to process? I mean, what is it about the war on terror, or Obama, or secrecy, or this non-judicial process of deciding who's guilty, who will die, and who will live? And when we decide, or not we, but when the decision is made as to who will die, any other people in the area who happen to die also are considered a mistake, a tragedy. I mean, how the hell did we get to this point? I get emails from people who are very smart, very articulate, who try to justify this. And I don't know what to say to these people. I mean, any attempt to justify this kind of assassination, this kind of killing or murder, on the basis that it serves the national interest or the security of the United States or any other garbage like that. Anyone who makes that claim to me loses credibility from the outset. Because what that person is saying to me, look, the Constitution, the rule of law, the nation of laws, not men, that doesn't apply anymore. Why doesn't it? Because we're at war with who or what? We're in a war against terrorism. We're in a war against a noun. These are terrorists. Another noun. The activity is terrorist activity, an adjective. What the hell? So when you go to war against parts of speech, then that's it. There is no end. How do you declare the war over? Do you sit down with the nouns and adjectives and everybody comes to an agreement and says, okay, we're not going to fight anymore? This is just goddamn insanity, and you know it as well as I know it. And the sad part to me is that people are, intelligent people from the left are trying to justify this, either by leaving it off the menu for discussion altogether, or bringing it up in a way that says, look, difficult times require difficult solutions or difficult actions, you know, some kind of nonsense like that. If that's not insanity, then but I don't want any part of it. I just don't want any part of it. I mean, I can't, I cannot accept or process in my mind make allowances for this sort of stuff. I can't do it. And still hold on to the idea that we are a democratic republic. That we are self-governing. Now, I can accept very easily what Obama's doing, what any of these people are doing. I can accept it in a heartbeat, half a heartbeat. But in order to do that, I have to give up the other. We do not live where they're still teaching our children we live. We do not live in a democratic republic. We do not live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. That's nonsense. It's gone. So for those of us who still almost laughingly hold on to that idea that we were taught in school, you know, just like the how we elect our leaders. That's gone. We don't elect our leaders the way you and I were taught in school. I'm talking about anyone over the age of 40, 45. We don't do that. We don't make laws the way we were taught in school, because the laws of the Senate and the House are so twisted and perverted that nothing happens. A vocal minority of psychopaths can bring the whole damn thing to a stop, and do every day. So what are we going to do here? We don't live in a system of free enterprise. We don't. So why do we keep calling it free enterprise? We are not heavily taxed. So why do we listen to people say we're taxed beyond belief? We don't have an educational system that is serious about educating our people. So why do we pretend that we do. I mean, what is this? Either it's... Oh, see, there comes that absolutist nonsense, right? Either it's black or it's white. No, Mike, there's shades of gray. Well, okay. That is open for debate, I guess. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Joint stress makes it difficult to do your daily routine and participate in activities that you enjoy with your family and friends. Now, if you find yourself on the sidelines because of sore joints, now's the time to try NovaJoint. That's the doctor-designed glucosamine alternative that helps people love how they feel. Thanks to my listeners who've purchased NovaJoint. And I'd like to share an email from Marlene. Quote, I wanted to thank you for advertising NovaJoint. I placed an order, got the discount using your name, and tried the product. It has really helped me with a painful right knee joint. After a week using NovaJoint, my pain has disappeared, and I'm so happy I heard about this product on your show. And it's signed Marlene. So don't give up on your quality of life because of achy joints. Now, for a limited time, get a special price on a bottle of NovaJoint with my discount code, M-I-K-E. Or save on three bottles with MIKE3. Go ahead and share these codes with your friends. Just go to NovaJoint.com and don't wait. Feel great. Thank you.